It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day again. And when we celebrate, we normally have food to eat. Hopefully, we will be having a celebration with food after the service. Well, certain individual identified TMEC as the Maples Eating Church. This is to underscore that eating is supplementary to fellowship. Eating is not derogatory. It is necessity for any living person. If you are alive, you have to eat. If you do not eat, then expect the next. Eating is essential element of church fellowship. Don't you think so? The Lord blesses even you even more. Listen, when you celebrate your anniversary or birthday with everyone else in the church, why would God bless us when we celebrate our birthdays together in the church? Well, when believers are satisfied, they will thank God. Lord, thank you for this food. This is really good. Thank you for this birthday celebrant. And they will praise God because they were thankful. They celebrated with you. So instead of paying costly ambience in services at a restaurant, we prefer to share our celebration food with our family of believers. What do you think? Is it right? Is it a good idea? Think about that. Together, let's meditate on what it admonishes us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 to 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, if we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See, sharing our celebration food is good, right? Is it? And we share our celebration food with the family of believers. Do you know what happens? It saves the church a large portion of our Sunday school budget for snacks. So instead of the church paying for snacks for Sunday school, when you share your food and then you celebrate, then that budget would be used for another ministry. It is considered good and good work in the eyes of the Lord. I think so. Spiritually, you are also planting good seeds, good deeds, and you will harvest at the proper time. Can you sincerely accept such interpretation? Sharing your food is good. Sharing your celebration food is good. That's good deeds. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. God will bless you more. Because believers, when they are satisfied, they thank God and praise God. Thank God. We thank God for your generosity. Well, in summer, most people schedule outdoor activities. Hopefully, when we have our outdoor activities, it would not be very sunny or not raining either. And they plan for celebration. Where do you plan to celebrate your graduation, your birthdays, anniversaries, reunion? And in Manitoba or in Winnipeg, we also have cultural, traditional locations. What do you call that? What is it? What do you call that celebration in August? Folklorama, you say. That is celebration. It's cultural, traditional celebration for every culture in Winnipeg, represented in Winnipeg. And summer is also time for simple gatherings for families and friends. And the highlight of most gathering is what? Dinner, eating food. Even in Folklorama, food, people would visit places where other cuisines are served and just taste what is this Philippine cuisine. They call that, you know, right? Food is attractive to anyone who is alive. And even politicians, they recognize that free food can revitalize rally participants and attract curious attendees. I know of one politician, he would give pizza in summer and just time for him to celebrate with constituents. What did Christ teach about food anyway? The Lord teaches in Matthew chapter 15, verse 17 to 20, whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hand does not defile them. Well, you still need to wash your hands. Maybe you touch something. When you come from the garden, you still need to wash hand. But if you are very concerned about your health, but that is not what the Lord Jesus is saying, defile or make us unclean before God, that is what he meant, does not defile them. We are defiled. When we are defiled, we become unclean before God. And Christ warns that we should be more concerned about our words, the words we say, more than the food that we may eat. If you are concerned with the food, if it is nutritious or not, you should be more concerned what comes out of the mouth. Food we prefer to eat cannot harm us. It doesn't defile our image before God. And if we are following certain dietary plans for our health, would it make us or anyone better Christian? Would it make you better Christian if you have dietary plans? Would it make you better Christian if you don't have dietary plans? Of course, we want to perform better, and we can perform better in the ministry if we are physically healthy. Now, if you are playing the drum and you are very weak, your timing would be off, right? You need to be healthy when you're playing the drum, or else it would be chaos. When you are invited to special occasions, now, and reservation is required, there is RSVP. What is RSVP again? Reservation. Whatever is that. But it means answer, if you please, something like that. Okay, RSVP. Now, if RSVP is required, you have to reserve the kind of food you prefer to eat. If you prefer to eat vegetables and fruits or meat or seafood, you just need to specify what food you desire to eat. Well, you like seafood? I like seafood. When I see food, I eat food. Well, let's read again verse 27 of our passage. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal, and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you about raising question of conscience. Read that again. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising question of conscience. What do you think? Did Apostle Paul admonish us to eat anything that other people may offer? That statement, and you want to go, and you want to go, which means when we are invited to a dinner, we decide if we attend or not. The decision is ours to attend or not. It implies we are aware of the occasion. What is the occasion? You need to know that. Why are you inviting me to a dinner? You need to know that. Those who invite us should also know our situation. You need also to inform them about your health, about your dietary plans, any food restriction. They need to know if you are allergic to something else, cinnamon, nuts, or maybe allergy to whatever you are allergic. First and foremost, if you are following strict dietary plan for the betterment of your health or for the maintenance of your health, you should consider that before attending a dinner you are invited. You should know also the time of occasion you are invited to attend. Now, if you have schedules, appointment, scheduled to take your maintenance medicine, or you are supposed to be sleeping at that time, you need to inform those who invite you. Invitation to attend, this is an occasion to, it could be a courtesy gesture to celebrate with those who invite us. Maybe a friend wants to extend this invitation to you because he just wants to celebrate his, her birthday with you as friend. Of course, if we attend, make sure that we do not have hesitation to enjoy the occasion. Now, if you have hesitation, like maybe not, something like that, because you are thinking of your schedule, you have an appointment, you have serious concerns, but you just wish to please your relatives or friends so that they won't say anything, nothing. She would say nothing to you. So you try to accommodate them. If there's hesitation attending an invitation and you are disturbed because you are thinking of something else, your schedule, appointment, or your concern, your health concern, will it benefit your testimony as believer of Christ? When we say we are believers of Christ, we want others to see that joy, that peace in us, not hesitation. But conscience helps us know that first and foremost, we have to take care of our health, right? Why? If you attend occasions, a dinner, but you cannot relax, you always look at your watch or always look at your cell phone. Then you cannot enjoy the fun because you are very concerned of the time. You are concerned of your health, the issues, health issues, your schedule, your appointment. Then you and your host cannot have fun together. You'd rather want to avoid it, right? Consciously, we can perform even our responsibilities with gladness if we are healthy. If you are healthy, you can perform better. So make sure, take care of your health. Take care of your health. No matter how eager you are to attend or do something, if you are not healthy, you are just doing it half-heartedly. Now, most companies provide call-in sick. What is that? Call-in sick. You call when you are sick. These are benefits for employees. How many days you are allowed to call in sick in a year? I don't know, but they give you maybe 3 or 5 days a year. Do you expect to be sick for 5 days or 5 times a year? I don't know. But employees who are sick of their job, they call in sick. Do you find you are you sick of your job? Then you call in sick. It is right to call in sick if you are physically sick, or mentally sick, psychologically sick. But if you are healthy, is it conscientious for Christians to call in sick? Is it? Listen carefully. If you are sick of your job, it means you don't care about your job, because you're thinking about job going to tomorrow is Monday. Monday again, you hate Mondays because you go to work again. You are sick of your job. You don't like your job. Look for a job that won't make you sick. Don't stay in that job, because money cannot pay your health. Would the Lord bless Christians who lie about their health and call in sick? What do you think? Lying, even with little things, is still lying. I hope that each person who would come to church, to the Maples Evangelical Church, especially those who heard this message today, will pray and ask God for inspiration not to call in sick again when they are not sick. There was a story that was told about someone who connived. This person connived with a medical doctor. At first, he asked the doctor, "Can you give me a prescription, the proof that I am sick in this particular day?" And the doctor, "Okay, pay me something, maybe like that." And he gave that prescription, that document, to prove that he was sick at that day. And then, what happened? He repeat the same thing. Keep on repeating the same thing. What do you think? Does his boss observe that he is just lying? Maybe yes, maybe not. He lied about his health frequently, received his salary without going to work. So what happened? The said employee became very, really sickly, and he was forced to retire at a young age. How can anyone enjoy their wealth when they are really sick? Really sick. Very, really sick. Seriously reflect what the Lord told Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, and you must rule over it. See, sin can control a person. That is why the Lord Jesus came, for us to be freed from the control of sin. But if you keep allowing sin of lying, to control you, then it's hard. It's not very good testimony either for Christians. We say, Christ died for me to be freed from sin. But look at me, I'm not freed from sin. Will you testify like that to people? Who would believe that Christ died for our sins if we ourselves who declared that Christ died for our sin, if we are not freed from sin? The Lord gave us conscience for us to determine what is right and proper. But our human instinct, we are inclined to do what is wrong. Well, anyone is tempted to imitate what other people, most people do, if it is not proper. Well, the other employee calling sick, I can do that too. Because you are envious that he received the salary without going to work, and you want that also, receive your salary without going to work, you call in sick. But remember, you are Christian. God would bless you even more than that salary if you do what is proper and right in His eyes. That salary is just can come and go. You can earn more. Why call in sick? Why instead ask the Lord, Lord, help me not to call in sick. Instead, help me to be healthy. Give me wisdom so that I will perform my responsibilities even more. How much do you receive now? The Lord may even promote you and make you receive better benefit than that regular pay that you are aspiring for call in sick. That is faith in God. Faith that God would bless you even more if you do your responsibilities. Perform much better. That is faith in God. So ask God, if you are tempted to call in sick, ask God, Lord, increase my faith. I know you can give me better than that regular salary that person who call in sick is receiving. Let me not be envious with that regular salary. Instead, let me be envious of doing what is right and proper in your eyes. We prayerfully ask the Lord to inspire us to focus what is right and proper. For instance, we eat what benefits our health that is right and proper. Not just trying to be envious of what others are eating, but it's not healthy for us. Many people have dietary plans. They have dietary plans. And those who have dietary plans do not drink soda or soft drinks. By the way, what is the healthiest soda? Go to the internet and search, what is the healthiest soda? And they will tell you. How can soda be healthy? Healthy soda is a contradictory concept. Healthy soft drink is oxymoron. What do you think? What is it that the internet say the healthiest soda? They would say what? Nothing. Nothing. There's that article, the healthiest soda. And then put, after reading a lot of things in that article, you would know the answer at the bottom. It says nothing, because soda is not healthy. Should the proper question be, how can soft drink or soda benefit our health? Well, soda may gratify thirst. But certainly too much soft drinks, too much soda can cause many illnesses. But if you cannot help it, if you cannot totally quit drinking soda, then take soda or drink soft drinks moderately. Could we get any health benefit from soft drink or soda? Now, as we grow old, medical doctors would advise to moderately eat certain food that may aggravate sickness. Eat moderately. They don't tell you to stop completely. Eat moderately. Drink moderately. If occasionally we crave for delicacies we eat normally, when we are healthy, what do you normally eat when you are healthy? Do you eat chicharron? Do it lechon, fried pork? Does it make us feel guilty if we crave for delicacies like that? Now, if medical doctors advise us that our favorite delicacy is not beneficial to our health, is it acceptable or to the Lord or pleasant to the Lord if we insist on eating intentionally our favorite delicacy that doctors advise us not to to forget? How when you ask for advice, who do you go to casually ask advice from? Who do you casually ask advice from? Do you go to your parents? Do you go to your friends? Do you go to your teachers? Do you go to your pastors? Millions of people are very quick to search online. They go online. Well, online advisories are seemingly great. But be prayerful. You might be just connecting with Apple intelligence or artificial intelligence, AI, they say. Pray for discernment to know what can be practically realistic, to determine what may personally benefit spiritually or personally, specifically, health-wise or mental-wise. Let's read again verse 28 and 29 of our passage. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I am referring to the person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? Both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of the conscience of the one who told you. Our decision should not be judged or determined by what others believe as proper, what others believe as improper. Whether we eat or avoid sacrificial food, if you are sure of what you stand for, what you believe, your doctrine you practice, you should be aware if you avoid food or eat food sacrificed to idols or any food that have been bought from the marketplace. Make sure that you know your doctrine. If you have health issues, if you are invited to dinner, make sure you inform your host what you prefer to eat or what you want to avoid, food that you do not, that is not beneficial to your health before agreeing to attend. It could be that some of the food are there are additional ingredients there that is not good for you. Confusion may happen when you only tell your preferred food after the food is already served. When your host had already served the food and prepared everything on the table, and then you tell your host, no, I cannot eat that, I cannot eat that, I cannot eat that, I do not eat that, that is not good for my health, and everything in the table is not good for you. That would be very tough for the host. And for you too, your relationship would be affected. So before you attend, if you have many, you have issues in your health, in your diet, you need to inform. These are the things that I cannot eat because according to my doctor, this is not good for my health. You need to explain that very clearly. While it may be common these days, there are traditional norms and cultural norms that people may still practice in their gatherings. You need to be aware of that too. Do you have any relatives who offer food to idols? Do you have any friends who occasionally offer food to idols? I remember the time when I was working as security guard. My co-guard would, when we eat our lunch or dinner together, he would just get a little of rice from his food and throw to the ground. For you there, who are watching us, you would just throw it like that. Have you seen people do that before? And I was just looking at it, and if somebody would eat, and yeah, somebody eat. The birds of the air, they came and eat those rice. If your conscience tells you that it is not proper for you to attend, you may politely decline an invitation. You may not need to lie, but tell them, I cannot attend because this is what I believe, and that is your time also to testify. They will be curious about your stand, about your doctrine. Somebody invited me, come, because they know that I was a drunkard before, and they invited me to a drink. And then I went, but they know that I'm not drinking. So, but they still invited me, maybe because they want to tease me. Just they try to tempt me if I have that urge of drinking. And they prepared a lot of, what do you call pulutan in English? Pulots. You explain that to Nick if he doesn't understand that pulutan means. It's the food that they eat while drinking, okay? That's, they call it pulutan in the Filipino language. While drinking, they are eating that food. Maybe a delicacy, kind of like sometimes it's snacks or anything. And they invited me to join them, and I went. And I eat the food, not drink their wine, I eat the food. And then the last time, I heard, don't invite Lorenzo, we just eat everything. And he didn't drink, and we have nothing to eat, and they did not invite me. So it's good for me, it's good for them. Together, let's seriously reflect on what it advises us in Romans chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. Let's read together. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not eat with contempt, the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Well, as children of God, as citizens of heaven, we serve the Lord. The Lord is who we deserve. He will judge us one day. One day, He will look at our behavior, because right now He is already recording our behavior, our action, our words. If we did our part religiously or not, He will reward us or not. So pray for empowerment to stand and practice beliefs, doctrines that may help us grow mature spiritually and practice what we learn. Eating our favorite delicacies without raising question of conscience is biblically acceptable. You eat without being conscienced, without asking question. Wasting food, it is not sensible. Wasting food, it is not wise. Wasting food should be avoided. Eating food, it is acceptable. Wasting food should be avoided. It is prudent. It is wise to be frugal. They may call you, that's a very frugal person. Frugality and avoid waste, they are vital economic principles of progress. I read one testimony of the person who owned IKEA. That old man would tell employees to use the back page of any paper. They don't just throw away and everything without using the clean page. What happened to IKEA? If you are thinking of growing your wealth, that is the secret of it. Be frugal, don't waste. Now, you work hard. Work hard to provide for your family. Parents, teach your children not to waste food. Don't waste food. What does Christ teach about surplus food? Is it biblical for us to gather leftover food. The four Gospels, one of the narratives mentioned in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the narrative about the food, surplus food, that the Lord gave to thousands of people. When the Lord fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, what did the Lord Jesus tell his disciples? Well, did you know that Jesus is concerned about leftover food? Did you know that? Together, let's reflect what it narrated in John chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. He did that to the 5,000, in front of the 5,000. He told his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." He let the 5,000 heard that instruction. Maybe when they were satisfied, they just leave the food that they have. But the Lord said, "Gather." Christ instructs us to gather leftover food. Now, many parents are growing bigger because they know this, because they would eat and not waste leftover of their children. Right? Mothers, lalo mothers, especially mothers. You grow big because you don't waste the food. You work hard, and yet your children would just not eat everything you give them. Parents teach children the value of food. Let them memorize verse 12, if you can, verse 12, that Jesus instructed his disciples to gather the pieces of leftover. It's instruction. It's a command. It is the command of Christ. Gather. That's a command. So wasting food is disobedience to the command of Christ, right? It is wasting. It's disobedience to the command gather, right? Disobedience to him is sin. So if we don't gather, we commit sin. Now, if we are praying for blessing, we need wisdom to be economically prudent. The Lord would bless you even more if you are prudent and not waste things. It favors us to use resources sensibly. It benefits us to avoid wasting food. A few years ago, or many years ago, somebody came from the U.S. and told us his story about how many Westerners waste food. Expiry, they throw it in the bin. Expired, they throw it. Why do they throw the whole chicken into the bin? Because they were not able to cook it at the expiry date. Why do they buy many things that they would just throw away? There's no wisdom in that, right? Buy something that you know you are able to consume before it expires so that you won't throw it away. If we use our resources with prudence, the Lord will bless us even more. What do you think? So pray to internalize the instruction of God. Pray for wisdom to internalize the instruction of Christ. Surely he will not denounce that when we ask for wisdom. Let's read again verse 30 of our passage. If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced? Because of something I thank God for. Now, conscience guides us to know what is right and proper. It is proper to be thankful for provision. It is proper not to waste food. It is proper to avoid wasting food. In comparison, the Holy Spirit inspires us to recognize that God is provider for our need. God is a provider for our food. Can you say amen to that? If God is provider for our food, we thank God. We pray, thank you, Lord, for this food. We are thankful for the food He gives. And if we avoid wasting leftover food, will God not be glad? Will God denounce us? Pray that God may activate our conscience to value His blessing. Amen. Anyway, Christians religiously pray and thank God for the food before eating. We do that right here. Call pastor and we'll pray. Before we eat, we will be celebrate. Why do we do that? Why not enjoy first your food and be thankful? Well, actually, Christ exemplified it. Together, let's read and reflect on Matthew chapter 14, verse 19 to 20. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves. And He gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Now the instruction of Christ to gather the pieces that are left over, even if this story of feeding the 5,000 is all over the 4 Gospels, is only mentioned. Only John mentioned the instruction of Christ. In Matthew, in Mark, and Luke, the instruction of Christ to gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted is where it's not mentioned in the other 3 Synoptic Gospels. Christ prayed and gave thanks to the Father for the food. Gathering, not wasting leftover food, this is biblical practice for disciples of Christ. Christ Himself told the disciples, and they gathered leftovers. Certain people may feel embarrassed to gather leftover food. Are you embarrassed? You attend a birthday and you're not able to consume all the food you ate and you want to take it home. Do you feel embarrassed with that? People may not say, but they are embarrassed. Or are they pretending to be sufficient? Or are they really sufficient that they do not want to take leftover home? If we gather leftover and take it home, actually we are obedient to Christ, right? When we gather. Others wish to satisfy their pretension. What do you wish? Do you wish to satisfy your pretension that you do not want to take that food home? Or want to satisfy the command of Christ to gather leftover? Now, meditatively, let's read Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 18. Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festivals, new moon, celebration, or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that are to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility judge you. How do you interpret that? How do you internalize that? How do you internalize when it declares religious festivals, new moon, celebration, or a Sabbath day? These are shadows of things that were to come. Religious festivals, new moon, celebration, or Sabbath day, these are shadows of future reality in Christ. And throughout history, we celebrate special occasions, and this is accepted, commonly accepted. We celebrate special occasions, which is proper. In special occasions, these are moments to celebrate. These are moments to worship, our fellowship, to thank God for for the food we eat. When we thank God for the food and we take home leftover, do you think the Lord is glad that you take home leftover food? Would God tell you, "Oh, good job, my son, my daughter"? Apostle Paul said, if I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced of something I thank God for? Maybe some of the people will say, oh, why are you eating with the Gentiles? Or they say, why are you eating with them in that festival? How do you interpret when Apostle Paul said, if I take part in a meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? How do you interpret that? When we thank God for the food we eat, others may still denounce us. They may still criticize us. If you take home or not, you will still be criticized. Hey, you wasted this food. Hey, he took that leftover food home. Which one do you prefer? Which criticism? We can be affected by offensive criticism, but be sure that the Lord would appreciate our gratitude, that he won't denounce us if we are thankful. Now, certain people publish pictures of food they eat. Do you publish the food you eat? Do you, every time you eat, this is what I eat for lunch, this is what I eat for dinner? I know somebody, he would, dinner, lunch, breakfast, they would publish that. Well, why? Well, they also publish the recipe of food they regularly cook, or maybe it's their first time to cook. Why would they do that? Subscribers and followers may learn from it. Oh, you are eating food like that? I don't know if you've seen what I published. I published an apple. What's that apple? It's apple, red apple. And I put, I bite the apple and put shrimp paste, bagong, alamang, shrimp paste in it and posted it. And others say, oh, really? Do you eat apple with shrimp paste? Did you try that? Try it. Try it. Not the very sweet apple, more on the mid tangy apple with a little of soury apple. You try, put it, and taste it. It's like you're eating not so ripe mango with shrimp paste. Try that one time, and you will learn. Now, if you publish a delicacy, delicious delicacy that you may have enjoyed, others may ask, oh, you can eat that? Or where did you order that? They would learn from you. They would learn. So you promote a product that you enjoyed, and others may try it. Now, imagine this. You cook a delicacy. You know it's so delicious because you tasted it. I like it. You share that delicacy to a friend. And the friend would taste, delicious. After tasting it with one scoop, he would throw the rest at the bin. He would throw it in the trash can. How do you feel? How do you feel? Will you share food again to that friend? Similarly, if we thank God, we avoid wasting food, we praise him for the opportunity to enjoy his provision, certainly he blesses us more. Agree? Agree? Now, for you parents, you are cooking at home. You cook a delicious food, and yet your children, because they are now grown up, they would rather go to a restaurant than eat your delicacy. Will you cook again for them? You go to that restaurant, I'll just cook for myself. Together, let's learn from King David, Psalm 65, verse 4 to 6. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hand. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of food, with singing lips. My mouth will praise you, and on my bed I remember you. Think of you through the watches of the night. Now, the comparison of David of praising God is like satisfaction he had in cherishing his food. How he was satisfied eating his favorite food, that is the satisfaction he had praising the Lord. Do you have that? Christ exemplified to pray and be thankful for food. He told his disciples, and they gathered the pieces that were left over. King David exemplified, when he was satisfied with his food, he praised God. We pray, we thank God for his provision. We follow the life example of Christ and his disciples. We gather leftover. We don't throw away. We avoid wasting leftover, which practically testifies that we are thankful of God. Why do you want to save that? Because I like it. I like it. Well, that's only sauce. Like for the sauce of a adobo sauce, only adobo sauce is left. And you want to take home? I want it. I like it. The many good things that God blesses us with are but as shadows of the things that were yet to come. When will we see those good things that are yet to come? When Christ returns. Christ returns later or sooner. He takes us into heaven for all eternity. We enjoy many good things God prepared for us. Amen. Let's stand up and praise God. Thank God for the many good things he has given us, and ask God for wisdom that we may be able to appreciate and be frugal, economically wise about the provision of the Lord. Let's pray.